34, and we're continuing our series, Blessed is the Man. We're looking at different passages in Scripture where the Lord makes it very plain. All of us desire to be blessed, and the Lord desires to bless us. And so it's by taking heed unto His Word that we know what the path of blessing is for us. We've looked at how man is blessed by having his delight in the law of the Lord, blessed by having their sins forgiven. And so we'll see Psalm 34. We'll begin reading at verse 1 down to verse 8. So Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise should continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We just pray you would bless as we look into it this evening. Help that we can be blessed just by the hearing of it, Lord, and help us to truly apply this to our lives in all areas, Lord, that we would put our trust in you in all things and receive your blessings. Just pray you'd help me, give me the words to speak for your people this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And in our day and age, there's always such a question, well, what can we trust? What is trustworthy? What is not? Who can we trust? We're in the midst of an election, and there's many promises made, and we're told of various different people that we're to trust them, and really only time will tell generally whether how well our trust was founded. We realize there's many things that we hope to rely on, even now when you're on the internet, that there's things where it has to be a trusted site if you want to go on it. You don't want to go on something that's not trustworthy, because it might look good, but then it could be very dangerous. And there's many things that we trust in and we rely upon in our society, different institutions. And again, time will tell whether our faith in those was well-founded. We think of many different times in history where people relied upon banking systems and other things, and then during a time of economic collapse, that they were left with nothing. And so there's many things that we look at that we, our life has to be based on trust at some point. Otherwise our lives would just be kind of a paranoia. We wouldn't trust anyone, and we'd just kind of live in our own homes and just kind of stockpile things, and then, well, we might not even do that because we could think, well, maybe the stuff that we stockpile could be tainted. We have to grow it ourselves and everything else. That there's, we realize that we have to trust a certain ways, and we don't want to be people that are worried and always fearful. And so we want to recognize what is the proper thing to trust in, that we're in a changing world, many shifting sands. We want to have our trust in the right thing. And we see from the scriptures that there's many things that many people trust in, and that even in sometimes that we have trusted in times past, that the Bible warns us against. We see 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul gives a warning of to Timothy to teach says, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That we can rely upon kind of financial security. It's something especially more and more in our lives that we try to establish that, or we try to ensure that we have that as we get older. But things can happen, and we aren't always certain of those things. It speaks in other places of riches that if we set it, we're not to set our heart upon them, because they can fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And that sometimes we can find that you think you have lots, and then there's some goes wrong with the vehicle, and it kind of drains the account a bit, and I remember this one family we knew out in BC that they kind of, when they were getting a lot saved up, the wife, she kind of knew, well, Lord must be kind of preparing us, there's going to be a need coming up, and sure enough there'd be something that would come up. And but it was always a blessing when you had the right perspective, because she knew, well, the Lord was making sure they were looked after even before the trouble, that they didn't have to worry. It just that they couldn't rely upon the riches as their trust, that they could rely upon the Lord. We see as well from the scriptures, this is in Psalm 44 and verse 6, and we think of David. He was a man of war, a soldier. but he says, this is Psalm, well, we don't actually know if David was the one that wrote this, but Psalm 44, verse 6, the writer of it says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall that my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. And it's the thought that throughout history there's been different times where people have relied upon military strength. We even think of history of the nation of Israel, and the two kingdoms, the southern and northern kingdom, especially near the end, that it speaks in the prophecies that with the threat of Nebuchadnezzar coming, that they relied, they made it an alliance with Egypt, and they figured that that would save them. And I believe it was Ezekiel that said, "It's you're leaning on a broken staff, that if you lean on it, it's going to pierce your hand," that it wasn't reliable. And we understand that from the scriptures. Also in Psalm 20 and verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And it was actually interesting when you find the qualifications for a king in Israel, that one of the things was they weren't to multiply wives unto themselves, because they would turn away his heart. We saw that with Solomon. But the other thing that it says in there of a couple things is that they're not to multiply chariots and horses to themselves. And you think, well, why would be the significance of that? And the thing was, is the Lord wanted them to trust in him and not in their military might, their ability to defend themselves. That even with Joshua, that when he conquered some of the people in the north as they were taking the promised land, he told them, we'll burn their chariots and hamstring their horses, so that they would not rely upon those. And we think of it of how through history there's always been different arms races and other things, and it's something that sometimes a new technology can come along that makes what great strength someone might have completely obsolete. And so it's not something to trust in. Instead, we need to remember the name of the Lord our God. We see also, as from the scriptures, that we're not to put our trust in men. Psalm 146 and verse 3, it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. That we think of it in many ways, that we can rely upon the system of justice that we have. We can rely upon government officials to provide deliverance. But we find it's very easy for injustice to occur. We see that throughout the Old Testament, things happening. And sometimes we find that there's times that a person would want to help, but can't or could help and won't. And we find that it's, if we rely upon other people, even though the person might be doing their very best, that they are human, that they do fail, and we don't rely upon an arm of flesh in that sense. We see this as well in Jeremiah chapter 17. In verse 5, Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." And that's what we recognize, that we think of this in many aspects, even in terms of salvation. If we trust in our flesh, if we trust in our own ability to deliver us, that it will not be sufficient, that we must trust in the Lord instead. And so we see that we can seek to put our trust in men, but there is definitely limitations on that we must instead seek to put our trust in the Lord and have Him guide us in the decisions we make. Then we see also from the scriptures in this same passage that we're not to even trust our own heart, that there's actually quite a lot of times, I know as a team leader in the church there in BC for a while, went to a lot of graduation ceremonies, and there's always different speakers that would say, well, just follow your heart. And from the scriptures we find that that's in many ways not a very good form of advice, because as it says in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." That we cannot rely upon our own understanding, our own comprehension. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies, that we think that we're doing right, but it can maybe be just because we want something really bad. There's so many different things that are corrupted in our thinking that we, if we try to rely upon ourselves as our guide, that we will fail. And that's why we understand that the Lord gives us His Word, so that we can see where we're mistaken. We can see what the right path is. We see Proverbs 8 verse 26 makes it even plainer. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And so that's what we learn, is not even trusting in our own selves, that we must turn to the Lord and have Him to give us what the truth is, what the path is for us to follow. And so in all of this, we're brought back that, well, who can we trust? What is absolutely certain? What can we rely upon in any situation? And it comes back that we can always rely upon the Lord. We see this Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, after it said, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man." It says, verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And we see in this passage, specifically verse 8, of how it correlates so well with what we learned in in Psalms chapter 1, of someone who delights in the law of God and meditates therein day and night. That if we trust in the Lord, if we place our hope in Him and Him alone, that we will be blessed, we will be happy, that we will see how good it can be. As it says in the passage that we read it, where it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," that we put our trust in Him and we find that our trust is well founded, that we need not be ashamed in doing so. Psalm 34, these are the next couple verses after that phrase, "Blessed is the man that trusteth Him." It says, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." That He makes this promise, this commitment, that we think even of the words of David in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," that He provides for us. He looks after us. He ensures that our faith will be well founded. It says as well, Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." And so we can be certain of that, that He'll give unto us, as we put our trust in Him, that He will give unto us all that we need. That, and we recognize that where it says, "No good thing," that sometimes there can be things that we want, things that we desire, and we don't receive them, and we wonder, well, what's wrong? Why is God not receiving them? But they're not giving them unto us. But as we put our trust in Him and we recognize His wisdom and His love for us, we see, well, that perhaps that thing that I desire is not a good thing for me. It may be something He's going to give to me later, but at this point, I'm not ready to receive it. And so we learn to trust Him in that, even as He dispenses His blessings, that we know that He's doing according to His wisdom, according to His love. And we can be certain, when we trust in the Lord, that we will not be ashamed. That if we were to make a search of anyone that has truly put their trust in the Lord, that they can testify, as we can, that the Lord maybe allow us to go through some difficult things, but He never abandoned us, that we weren't ashamed of putting our trust in Him. We see, this is Isaiah 50, verse 7, it's words, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." That we can be certain of that we shall not be ashamed. "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed," it speaks in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. And so, as we are to put our trust in Him, we recognize kind of the all-encompassing nature of that faith that we have. We start out with kind of a little faith. You think of the disciples, of how they had faith to follow Christ as their Messiah. But yet when they crossed the Galilee, and the storm came up, that they rushed to Him and said, "Master, save us, we perish." And Jesus said to them, "Why are ye so fearful, ye of little faith?" That they had a little faith, but we want to understand God wants us to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith, and have it abound more and more as we draw further along in our walk with Him. And so we see, first of all, that we are to learn to trust the Lord at all times. Psalm 62 and verse 8, it says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. That we need to trust Him at all times, when things are going great and when the bottom seems to be falling out of our lives, when there is a great calm and when there is a great storm. That no matter what portion of our life, we are to trust in Him at all times. We think of, again, of some of the kings of Judah that we studied, of how they started trusting in the Lord and following Him, but then as they got further on in their life, they didn't. We didn't touch on him, but one king specifically of Judah that gives testimony of that is King Asa, that when he was young, that there was a great army of the Ethiopians. I believe the army was of about 1 million men, it said, 1,000,000. And there was just no hope for them to have any victory. And he prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord brought great deliverance. And the Lord was with him for many years, but then at the end of his life, the northern kingdom of Israel came to attack him, and he sent riches up to the king of Syria, and he said, well, break your league with the king of Israel and attack him so he'll leave me alone. And it succeeded, but then a prophet came unto him and said, you missed out on what God's plan was. God wanted to use this so that not only the northern kingdom would be judged, but that also Syria was going to be judged. That was God's plan, is that he was going to give him a victory over the northern kingdom, and then Syria would be swept into it because of their allegiance or their alliance with the northern kingdom, and then they'd have victory over them too. But he missed out on that. And we see it's kind of sad at the end of his life that he kind of lost that faith that he had when he was younger. And he was diseased in his feet when he was older, but it says that he sought not the Lord. He only sought the physicians. He didn't ask the Lord to heal him. And so we want to learn to trust in him at all times. And that's the thing. I know even with myself that when you get into kind of a crisis situation or something where it's life is a little bit overwhelming, we don't want to be afraid. We don't want to panic. We want to realize, no, he is in control, and we can trust in him at all times. We see also that we're to trust in him with all our heart. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That our faith needs to grow, and we can trust him in certain areas of our heart, but then there's other areas that we kind of rely upon ourselves, or we're not ready to give it over unto him. We want to hold on to it. And that's sometimes what we find with the most important things, our salvation, that we're able to put that in the Lord's hands, because we know that we can't save ourselves. We can rely upon him. But then kind of the daily worries of life, that we sometimes think that we need to hold on to them, and we want to learn to trust the Lord in all those things with all our heart, and acknowledge him in all of our ways. Whatever we do, that we want to see his plan, his purpose, and we want to trust in him to work. And so we see specifically from the scriptures that as we seek to trust in the Lord, that practically we can look at in two ways. First, that we are to trust in his word. Psalm 119 and verse 42, it says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. That we are to place our trust in the pages of scriptures, that it is the words of God, the words of wisdom. It says in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so we must learn that we would rely upon his word, that we would trust it. For every, we think of that in all times and with all of our heart, that there's different times we get into a situation and we don't know what to do, that as we study the scriptures, that the Lord can teach us different principles, different things, giving us wisdom, kind of being a light to our feet, or a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, showing us the way in which we should go. That we see the Lord's remedies to different things in our life, and although we may be skeptical of its ability to provide a cure, it is something to put to the test to see, because it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." See if His word is true, and we have a testimony of that. Any time that anybody has put his trust in the Scriptures, he has not been ashamed. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, Paul says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and the glory of God by us." That there isn't any promise that we can say, well, the Lord has not kept, or that He has failed to do so. We recognize even in the promises that are yet to come, it is not that they shall not come to pass, it's just that they are yet to come to pass. And we can be as certain that they will come to pass, just as others have already come to pass in history. And so we want to trust in His Word. That there's so many times that throughout history that men have tried to shake the Christians' trust in what the Scriptures say. We think even of whether it's the Scriptures themselves with higher criticism and other things that trying to show, well, this is not really what it says, or we think even with many of the first chapters of Genesis where we're trying to be told that, well, that's not really what happened, that we have to kind of make science fit with the Scriptures. We have to try to make the days into ages and other things, whereas no, we recognize that this science that supposedly does not fit with the Bible is science that is falsely so called, and that there is no conflict with the Scriptures, that the Bible records things completely, and that we can trust it, that we do not need to have our faith shaken. And that's what we found, that through history, that there was kind of a great struggle as modern evolution gained kind of a foothold in academia. But now there's quite a generation of Christians that are scientists that have shown, no, that what the Bible says is very clear. We can think of that even in archaeology, of how there's been many different times that people have claimed that things in the Bible, there's no record of it. At one time they said there was no such place as Ur, but then they found it, that it was a chief city of the Sumerians. There was actually, for a time they said that, well, there's no record of Pontius Pilate, that he was just kind of a made-up character, and then they found ruins in Caesarea by the sea, that there was a thing that had his name inscribed upon it, that there's so much that doubt is cast upon the Word of God, that we find again and again that it's proven wrong. And we think of that in terms of not only of history and of science and other things, but in terms of solutions for the troubles that we have in life, whether it's it might be challenges in raising children, challenges in a marriage, challenges even in running a business or making decisions, that we can they would say, well, no, you can't really rely upon what the Scriptures say, but the fact is we can, and we will be blessed if we do so. And the greater our reliance upon it in all times, in all our ways, with all our heart, if we do that, we will be blessed because of it. And we see as well, not only should we trust in the written Word, but we need to trust in the living Word as well. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the statement in Jeremiah where it said, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and blessed be the man who puts his trust in the Lord." That we think of it, that trust, putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is well founded, because though He is a man, He is not only a man. He is God come in the flesh, and we can rely upon Him because of that. And it says in Psalm chapter 2, In verse 10 it says, "Be wise now therefore, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And we recognize that anyone that puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, that it is well founded, that they will not be ashamed, that they will not find that they put their trust in him and then they didn't get in to heaven, that they missed it somehow, that the Bible says clearly so, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see as well Romans 9 verse 33, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ who became the chief cornerstone, "and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And we find that to be true in terms of our salvation, that we do not rely upon our own merits, our own ability, but we fall upon the mercy of God. We fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we turn to him for our salvation. In him alone we put our trust, and we find that trust is well founded, that he fulfills his word, that we're saved, that we're changed into a new creature, that we're given of his spirit that testifies that we are the Son of God, that we have new desires, new hopes, a new focus to our life, that it comes through him as we've placed our trust in him. And we recognize as well that we can put our trust in him for the troubles of life that we face, that he is, because he is God, he is not a God that is far off, he is a God that is at hand, that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is our great high priest, that he is ready to come to our aid. He wants to help us and impart to us the grace that we need in times of trouble. And so when we put our trust in him, that we, through his finished work on the cross, we come boldly to the throne of grace. We go to him, go to the Father through him by faith, that we shall find that our faith was well founded. And as we think in terms of even of victory in our lives over sin, over different struggles, that we know that we can have victory through him. It speaks in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, that he can give us victory as we put our trust in him. That we think of, it speaks of those who were accused of the devil in Revelation chapter 12. It says, "And he overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death." That we rely upon what he has done, that all what he did on the cross for us, and when he rose from the dead, that he completed everything that was necessary for us to have full victory, to experience his power in our lives, and that we can be truly blessed even in difficult times, that we can know he is near us, and that we can experience his favor and his grace for whatever we are going through. And so as we think of this, where it says, "Blessed is the man that puts our trust in him," that we recognize the more that we trust him, the greater the blessings. That in any area of our life, if we trust in his word, if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be blessed. We will not be ashamed. We will receive exceeding abundant above what we asked or thought. But it's up to us to trust him all the more in all times, in all our ways, with all our heart. That the only limit to our blessing in this area is our lack of faith. The greater our faith, the greater the blessing. So may the Lord help us in this, that we understand that he is seeking to try our faith, he is seeking to grow our faith, and we don't necessarily enjoy those times, but we see that he's doing it because he wants to bless us. And he's saying, I'm going to put you through this. I want you to trust me. And there will be blessing if you do. It may not be till we are on the other side, but we find from the scriptures that we're blessed both in this life and in the life to come. And just the fact of knowing that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, that we're in His will, that He is with us, that in itself is a great blessing unto us, and that we can know that we will not be ashamed. So it is something I think, I know for myself as well, that that it's learning to grow in our trust of Him so that His blessings can continue to grow in our lives. All right, let's turn to one more hymn, number 261. We'll sing Trust and Obey, number 261.